such a wonderful blessing to be here tonight at Pleasant Plains. And I was looking back. It was 2017 when I was actually here before. It's hard to believe how time flies so much. But we appreciate y'all's sweet hospitality. I already felt so loved here already, and a little bit heavier than when I rolled into the state of Georgia already. And appreciate that wonderful meal, and so thankful to the Lord for already being with us in the song service and the good humble prayer offered by Brother Sam, and just pray that he would continue to be with us. The gospel is not going to be preached if his Holy Spirit is not with us, so I do ask an interest in your prayers. Have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Joshua. I want to look in chapter 2 to begin with. It said, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' They went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, 'Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Joshua sent two men in to spy Jericho, and I can't help but smile when I read that, because there was another time where 12 spies went in, but only two of them got it right. And so Joshua, I think he's probably just thinking, let's just get the two that's going to do it right and going to do what the Lord says. And they send these two spies into Jericho, and they go into a woman's house named Rahab, who the Bible describes as a harlot. She was a woman engaged in a manner of life that would have caused the shame of any father that would have wanted his daughter to do right. But she hides the spies. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, she is commended in that great chapter of faith for hiding the spies of Israel. She does that at great peril to herself. And I want to pick up in verse 9. She winds up going back on top of the roof to talk to these spies. And she said unto the men, that is to these two Israelite spies, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." She can see that the Lord has blessed Israel. She goes on to tell them, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now look at how much this harlot Rahab sees how God has blessed Israel. And look how much she's focused on the victories that the Lord has already given Israel. And I'm going to say that Rahab here probably remembers the victories of Israel better than they did. They quickly would forget, wouldn't they? They would quickly see one miracle done by the Lord. And then the next minute, they're murmuring and they're complaining and saying, Lord, we just need to go back to Egypt. But she remembers the victories that God had blessed them with. You know, we need to remember the victories that God has blessed us with. Sometimes, see, this woman's encouraged, not for her nation, but she's encouraged for Israel. And we need to be encouraged for Israel. Look how much the Lord has done for us. Look how many victories He's blessed us with. And I'm going to tell you, the best cure for discouragement is encouragement. We've got a lot to be encouraged about. The Lord has been so good to us. We have a lot to be encouraged about. And here Rahab sees the wondrous victories that the Lord had blessed Israel with. And she recognizes the God of Israel. You know, Hebrews 11 will say, by faith, she received the spies with faith, with peace. Now, how'd she get that faith? She got that faith the same way anybody would ever get faith. And that is, the Lord has to give it. In Romans chapter 12, it'll say, as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you look in the beginning of Romans chapter 12, he'll say, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So who gets faith? The Lord gives faith when He borns again His children. The Lord is the dealer of faith, and in the new birth, we're dealt the measure of faith. You know, we got the same amount of faith that Moses had, that Joshua had, that Gideon had, that those Hebrew children that were in the burning fiery furnace, we got the same amount of faith in the new birth they did. But we need to exercise that faith. My son, John Mark, his muscles are a little more manifest than mine. I say mine are hidden under. My muscles are concealed weapons. They're concealed underneath about an inch or two of fat. But the more we exercise our muscles, the bigger they are. But we're all born, if we're born normally, with the same number of muscles. And we should exercise our faith. Here, Rahab has faith. And she's got faith in the God of Israel, and it's a sure testament that God Almighty, though her life looked like a shipwreck heretofore, that the Lord had blessed her, that He had loved her before the foundation of the world, that she was one of His, and He had borned her again, and she is manifesting this faith in the God of Israel because of that faith that the Lord had put in her heart. Look what she says about the Lord. She said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Said, He's God over all. He's Creator God. He's God in heaven above. He's God in the earth beneath. And He's God everywhere in between. He's God. And she takes encouragement in that. You know, one of the things at the very beginning of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1. Now here's a man, Joshua. He's got the job to follow the leader Moses. Now, how would you like to be the one that takes up the leadership position of Moses? You know, it's tough when there's been a very respected minister pastoring a church, and then maybe a younger minister comes behind. That's a daunting task, because you know how respected that minister was. How'd you like to follow Moses? That's Joshua's role. You know what the Lord tells him, though? He said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll tell you, no matter who stands in this pulpit, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joshua, or somebody else, it doesn't matter so much the man that stands in the pulpit. It matters who's the God that's with them. He said, as I was Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And he keeps telling Joshua, be of good courage, be strong, be courageous, be of good courage, for I am with thee. You know the way we can be of good courage today in 2022 in the United States of America, where so many things are going wrong, the way we can be of good courage today is to remember the God that's with us. He's God in heaven above, and He's God in the earth beneath. He's the same Lord that did all these miracles in the Old Testament. He's the same Lord. I love that song, the God that lived in the olden times. He's just the same today. He hadn't waned in power. He hadn't waned in strength. He hadn't reigned in might one iota. He's the same Lord. And I'll tell you, Rahab here is seeing what a strong God He is. Now I'm going to tell you, though, Rahab had done a whole lot of things wrong in her life. And sometimes we can do things wrong in our life and we'll pay the consequences of it for the rest of our life. David saw that. After he committed that sin with Bathsheba and had her husband basically murdered, God said, the sword's never going to depart from your house. And he would suffer the consequences of that for the rest of his life. So there can be consequences the rest of our life for our sin. But you know, there's still a truth on the other end of that, that it's never too late to start doing the right thing.
Amen.
Here's this woman that had been a harlot, that was described that way, who had done a lot of things wrong in her life, but here she's fixing to do something right. And it's never too late to start doing the right thing. And Rahab's going to start doing the right thing. And look at what a blessing it is. She said, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She asked for benefits for her family. You know, when we do right, it's not only a blessing to us, it's a blessing to our families. When we do right, our families are blessed. And Rahab's family is going to be delivered. Her family is going to be saved from the devastation that would come because she did the right thing. And I'm going to tell you, when we as mamas and we as daddies, we as brothers and sisters do the right thing, our families can be saved, not in an eternal sense, but in a temporal sense, in a timely sense. Peter would say in Acts 2, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward means crooked, it means evil, it means wicked. Well, that was just that generation then, but not now, right? We all know better than that. We still need to be saved from this untoward generation. And one of the things
Peter's telling them to do in Acts chapter 2 is to repent and be baptized, to be united with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how much I've been saved and my family's been saved from being a part of the church
of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much it's been an encouragement to me.
How much my brethren and sisters have helped me keep from getting on the wrong path time after time after time. When we do the right thing, it's a blessing to our families. And the men answered her, they said, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when that the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. The man said unto her, we'll be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, and we, his blood shall be upon our head, if any man be upon him. And if thou wilt utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. She said, according to your word, so be it. She sendeth them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. They gave her a token. Her house was on the town wall. She let them down by this scarlet rope, and they said, you bind this in your window, and that'll be the token that keeps you and all your family safe within your home. That word line, that Hebrew word rendered line, is an interesting word. It literally means hope. This is a scarlet thread of hope. And we know it's emblematic of the scarlet thread of redemption that goes throughout the Bible. Emblematic of the precious blood of Christ, which he would shed for us on Calvary's tree. Ephesians chapter 1 would tell us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And that's the emblem they give to her. And I'm going to tell you, when Israel would come in and they would devastate and they would burn as God had instructed them to do, this city of Jericho, they would look up and they would see that scarlet line. They would see that scarlet thread of hope, and everybody in her place would be safe. I think it's interesting they start talking of, the Bible talks about Rahab's house, but then it uses the word home. At the end of verse 18, it said, bring your father, your mother, your brethren, your father's household home unto thee. You know, I've been in Old Baptist churches in many parts of this country, and I always feel home. What makes this house home? It's the scarlet thread of redemption. You see, we share something as brethren and sisters in Christ that is far greater than even what I shared with my physical brothers and sisters growing up. We had four boys in my family and one girl. And we shared so much growing up. We shared the same mama, the same daddy. We shared many of the same childhood memories together. And you know, sometimes I can just be around my brothers or sisters and say, do you remember when? And I'll just give a couple of words. And they'll be able to finish the story because we shared in it. But I'm going to tell you what we share in as brothers and sisters in Christ tonight is far greater even than the childhood memories we shared with our families. We share in the very blood of Christ. We share in the precious blood of Christ that was given for us by the Lamb without spot and without blemish. And we share in that. The same blood He shed for you on that cross is the same blood He shed for me. We share in that. That's what last night was all about. Communion, koina, Greek word koinonia, a sharing together. We share together in His broken body. We share together in His precious blood. They said, you bring your family home. And what made it a home instead of just a house is that scarlet thread of redemption, the precious blood, emblematic of the precious blood of Christ. But see, not only looking out from her window in could the children of Israel tell, this is the house that's to be delivered. This is the house that's to be saved. See, she could look in that window and look out. You know, she knew that Israel wasn't coming for at least 3 days. But you know, she didn't wait to bind that scarlet thread in the window. She could have waited a few days, but she did it immediately. You know, every time she looked out her window at that old wicked city of Jericho, it looked a little bit different to her because she looked through the scarlet thread of hope, through the scarlet thread of redemption out at the world around her. You know, this old wicked world we live in, we got a different view of it because we can look out our window and we look through the scarlet thread of redemption. And while the wicked world has no hope in the midst of a wicked world, we look and we see the scarlet thread of hope. We see the very blessings that our Lord has blessed us with, and it makes every day different for us. And we look out our window, even at a wicked world, we can have hope in the precious things that the Lord's given us.
Amen.
And the hope that because of that scarlet thread of redemption, that precious blood He shed for us, that one sweet day, heaven and immortal glory will be our home. And she could look at it, that scarlet thread of hope. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6, where they actually go into the city of Jericho. It says, now Jericho was straitly set up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. This city's besieged. None came out, none came in. That means no goods, no food products, no water products could come in or could come out. Remember that. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and thus thou shalt do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets or ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horns. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout, with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight in front of him. At the appropriate time, if we go through, and I'm not going to read all of this for the sake of time, but Joshua tells them under the instruction of God that they're not to say anything. When they go around the city that first day, and here's the picture, you've got the armed men leading. Then you've got the priests blowing on these ram's horns. Then you got the Ark of the Covenant. Then you got the others there in the march, the children of Israel, and then you've got a rearward behind. It's the symbol of a military march, and they're just walking around the city. The Lord tells them, don't say anything till I tell you to say something. And there's a great principle in that. And I would to God would bless me, and God would bless us all to know when it's time to speak and when it's time to be quiet. Because there is a time to speak, but there is a time to be quiet. I would to God I'd know the difference. Been a lot of times in my life I didn't know the difference, and I spoke when I should have been quiet. And there's been times I've been quiet, I should have spoke up. And there's a great principle in that. Lord says, don't say anything till I tell you to say something. Now, can you imagine human nature being what it is? Here they are, they walk all the way around this city. He had let them talk. And somebody come up to his neighbor, hey, Joe Bob, what are we doing here? Why are we walking around this city? We're not doing any good. What are we doing? And it'd be easy for murmuring and complaining to go forward, saying, what are we doing? We're not making any progress. This doesn't make any sense. They're doing it because God told them to do it.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if God tells us to do something, that's all we need to know. It doesn't have to make sense for us. If God tells us to do something, we need to do it.
Amen.
So God told them to do it. And after the 6 days, he said, on the seventh day, you're going to compass the city seven times. Now, seven in the Bible is the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. So here you got seven priests blowing seven ram horns, and they're going to compass the city on the seventh day, and they're going to compass it seven times. I'm going to tell you what the Lord does is perfect. And I'm going to tell you the way He set up His church is perfect. And we don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to take anything away from it. And He says, after you've done all that, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. That word literally means under. Flat under. If you know, and they actually excavated the city of Jericho. And I'm going to tell you, it fits exactly with the narrative we're given in the book of Joshua. Imagine that. Imagine that what the archaeologists would dig up and find is the exact same way that God said it would be done. You know, there's a whole lot of scoffers that said this Bible's not true. And I'm going to tell you, God is showing us in many ways, again and again and again, that His Word is true. And sometimes He leaves us archaeological evidence just showing us again that it's true. The ancient city of Jericho had a wall that the bottom wall of it had dirt behind it. It's very similar in the U.S. courthouse that I work in. Sometimes I'll drop a cell phone call in my office in the middle of Jackson. And it's because there's mounds of dirt all around my office. It's fortifications. And it's designed so if a truck that's loaded with bombs comes up outside the courthouse, that all that dirt behind these retaining walls will shield the courthouse from the blast. Well, Jericho was fortified in a similar way. You had a retaining wall with dirt behind it here. You had another wall up here. So when they did what God told them to do, there was that long blast on the ram's horn. Now I'll tell you, I can't read that without thinking about the wondrous ultimate victory in the future that we'll be blessed with when the Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to come with the voice of the archangel, and he's going to come with the trump of God, and we're going to hear that long blast to end all trumpet blast ever. When the Lord Jesus comes again and takes all his children home. So even in looking at this account of the city of Jericho, I think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus and what a day that will be. But he says, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. There's not going to be a battle fought here by men. The Lord's fighting this battle. And these walls, these top walls, here's the bottom retaining wall. Here's this top wall, and when there's a long blast on that ram's horns, and God's people shout as God has told them to shout, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and God gets all the honor and God gets all the glory for the victory that's going to be won, that wall falls down just like this. It doesn't fall inside, falls to the outside. Now, police come in and try to kick in a door. Where's the door going to fall? To the inside. Because the force is coming from the outside. Whenever any military attacks a city, the walls are going to fall in. Because the force is coming from the outside. But I'm going to tell you, the walls of Jericho, and when they dug up that ancient city, the walls had fallen down flat. Down under where they were on the other walls to the outside. Why? Because God left that as a testament that this battle wasn't won by the strength of Joshua or by the strength of the men, but by the power of an almighty God. And then look at what it says. It says, they'll go straight up. The wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight in front of him. Now that almost sounds like they just walked upstairs. Well, the Lord kind of made them a ramp. As that top wall fell down on the other wall, they were just able to go right up there straight into the city. The Lord's going to tell them to burn this city. Verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire. When they excavated that ancient city, guess what? It had been burned. When they began to look at the articles of that city, you know what they found? They found big barrels of food products that were almost to the top. How did the Bible begin in this chapter? Nobody could go out. Nobody could come in. Now they knew this was coming. Rahab's own testimony told them, this is coming. Israel's going to defeat us. So they done stockpile their food. But the city was not under siege for long. So here's all these barrels of meal and food products. Almost to the top, they had just used a little bit of it. Fits exactly with what the Bible says. The city had been burned. You know what else they found? There was part of the wall that didn't fall. You remember where Rahab's house was? It was on the wall. The very promise of God has said, I'm going to save Rahab. And I'm going to save all of her family. And I'm going to see that scarlet thread of redemption, that that representative of the precious blood of Christ. And when I see that scarlet dress, I'm going to save it. I'm going to deliver that house.
And when the archaeologists came in and dug up that city, there's still part of that wall still standing. And I believe with all my heart it was the part of the wall that's where Rahab's house was. That scarlet thread of redemption that saved Rahab and all of her house. What a blessing is hope. You know, hope's just not a thing, but hope is a person. Our hope is in our Lord, our Savior, our Master and our Redeemer. I'll close with the verses found here at the end of Hebrews chapter 6. It says that by two immutable things. Word immutable means unchangeable. We serve a God that does not change. Malachi said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason we're blessed with the scarlet thread of redemption and we'll know we'll always have that line of hope is because our God does not change. He said, by two immutable or two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie by His very nature, by His character. That we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What's this hope set before us? It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself who died for us on the cross of Calvary and drank that cup of the wrath of Almighty God for my sins and for your sins, and that now at the right hand of God the Father in power, in glory, and in victory. You know, we can see a lot of the old prisoner shows that where prisoners are on that chain gang. They got a big ball and chain on their leg and it pulls them down. Pulls them down. We've got an anchor. But our anchor's not down. Our anchor's up. And I'm going to tell you, there's so much in this world that pulls us down. But I'll tell you, at the end of our anchor, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and on our glory, and that anchor is attached to our heart. Do you ever need a lift up? I'll tell you, our hope, our scarlet line of hope, our scarlet thread of redemption, our Lord and our Savior, though all the things of the earth may pull us down, we have a line of hope that lifts us up in the midst of this dark world. And here we have a woman, this prostitute, this harlot, as the Bible describes it, whose life had been shipwrecked. But I'll tell you, the Lord loved her. He loved her before He ever created this world. He loved her before He ever said, let there be light. God loved Rahab. And God born her again. He put faith in her heart. But she exercised that faith. And she received the spies with peace, so we're left of her account today. You know, initially when Israel, after, if you keep reading there in the account where we've been reading, it said Israel got all of her family and they put them outside the camp of Israel. They were in safety, but they were outside the camp. But then it'll tell you that Rahab dwelleth with Israel to this day. You see, she found a home in Israel. So much so that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, she's mentioned in the lineage of Christ Himself. You know, we love the story of Ruth and Boaz. Such a wonderful story. Boaz is such a strong picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth, as his bride, is a picture of us. You know who Boaz's mama is? Rahab. Boaz's mama is Rahab. Here's a story of grace. Here's a story of redemption. Here's a story of a woman that was a harlot that didn't stay a harlot, who was blessed to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord one of the greatest men in all the Old Testament scriptures, one of the strongest pictures of Christ of anyone in the Bible, the man who the Bible would introduce as he's a mighty man of wealth. And Rahab's his mama. That's one of the reasons Boaz probably didn't mind marrying a Moabite girl, because his daddy had married one of another nation who became part of Israel because of the grace of God. You know how I'm part of Israel tonight? Same way Rahab was, by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know why we're blessed to be a part of Israel tonight? It's because the Lord's blessed us with that scarlet thread of redemption. And no matter what happens in this old world, we got that scarlet thread of hope. We've got that tether into heaven itself that helps lift us up from the cares and the trials and the tribulations of life to view through the special redemption that the Lord has blessed us with. May God richly bless you.